Good evening, everybody, and a Freilich Chanukah. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir. This evening, we will try to speak about the minhag of giving gifts on Chanukah. Has anyone here ever received a Chanukah present? Has anyone ever given a Chanukah present? So just this evening, my parents came over. They gave my kids a Chanukah gift each. And on the way out, my mom said, oh, what are you speaking about tonight? I said, whether or not it's permissible to give gift on Chanukah. Oh, Alvin, welcome. So we will certainly say that it is not prohibited. That being said, giving gifts on Chanukah is the topic this evening. But we got to talk about the Parsha first. Can anyone think of gifts that are given in Parshas Miketz, the Shabbos Chanukah Parsha? I could think of two examples of gifts that were given in Parshas Miketz. Vayomer aleihem Yisrael aviyem. So once Yaakov realizes that the famine is too strong and they are forced to go down to Mitzrayim with Binyamin, Yaakov sends his sons down with a strategy. What does he give them? Imken evozos asu kechu mizimras haaretz bichleichem. So take some of the zimrat haaretz. Some of the, we'll explain what that means. V'horidu la'ish mincha. You're going to present a present to Yosef. Ma'atzri u'mat devash nechot valot botanim u'shkedim. So essentially, Yaakov Avinu doesn't send his children down to Yosef empty-handed. He sends them with gifts. Rashi explains, what is this term? Mizimras ha'aretz. Unkulus mishevach ha'aretz. What's the lashon of zimrat? Shehakol mizamrin alav. So, when the olives, grow, everyone is singing, so to speak, that they are in bloom and they're ready, they're ripe, etc. The Radak similarly writes, these are mehadvar ha-meshabchim sheba'aretz hazot. These items that Yaakov Avinu sent down to Yosef were items that make Israel praiseworthy. If someone wants to praise Israel, they would say, oh, Israel has the best olives or whatever. And the Radak continues, and he actually writes, these items that were sent down to Yosef, hayu motzi'im me'eretz Yisrael l'shar aratzos. It was actually regularly exported. So what would you say is the most commonly exported item, natural, like a fruit or vegetable, out of Israel these days? What would you say? It's the most famous Israeli product.
Orange.
That's what I would have said. No, right? I'm sure there's more. I know, like, Trader Joe's, right? I think they have, like, a lot of Israeli stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I know, I like the chocolate. when my kid, COVID, so Yom Ha'atzmaut, and on Zoom, one of the teachers said, go find something in your house that comes from Israel. Expect it to find an olive, an orange, or whatever. And I got those chocolate bars. What are they called? The galit or whatever. You know, it's like those big chocolate bars. Whatever. You know, they have them in the food showcase, whatever. So that was my connection to Israel that year. Anyway, so the Radak says these were regularly trained. They were big deals. People would even, buy them from other countries. Okay, fine. So the Malbim explains what the purpose of the present was. So intuitively, why would Yosef send the present to, why would Yaakov rather send the present to Yosef? What was his goal there? Bribe. Meaning what? What does he need to bribe him for? Well, yeah, so Shimon is kept in captive. So Yaakov Avinu wants there to be a three-pronged strategy. Tzivam gimel devarim. Number one, she'evilo mincha, says the Malbim. She'baze yitre'esh she'kenim atem. Says the Malbim, a fascinating insight. If you were embarrassed, if you were really spies, you know what you would do? You would be embarrassed to give a present to the person that you wronged, because it would be obvious that you're trying to make up for your wrongdoing. So by the fact that you're going to give Yosef a present, and it's not so impressive, meaning ironically almost like the opposite of what we've been learning. The idea was, we're not trying to show off over here. I'm not trying to bribe you, right? Like, I would have said, like Adam, the whole idea was to bribe, but the Malbim is actually saying, ironically, because what does it say in the Torah? Ma'at. Why only a little bit? It's a little bit. Shein derech lahavi mincha derech kavod. That was the way to show honor to a person. Hasros panim. It was essentially a formality when you were to greet someone important. So you weren't trying to show off your money, like, you know, here's my millions. Rather, you were just trying to greet them. Or greet them like almost like a humble gift that was an act of recognition.
It's in contrast to what he did with
Esau. You, my friend, are mechavein Robert to the Sforno. The Sforno says, in the last parish, on this part of the parsha, is that there's a contrast between the way Yaakov Avinu sent presents to Esav, as opposed to the way he sent presents to Yosef. When the person receiving your gift is very hungry for money, the whole idea is to show them, I have a lot of stuff for you, and you're trying to wow them with the optics. Aval, kaisho yovilu alinadiv. But if you're trying to give a wealthy man a present, he doesn't care about the amount of money that you're trying to give him. He doesn't need your gift. Rather, what do? You give a small present, but it's davar nivchar, meaning a little prized possession, basically. And this plays into that ma'at, ma'at, ma'at. Yaakov was not trying to show off his wealth as much as he was trying to say, here is something that you will genuinely appreciate. You don't have it. It's Israeli products. And it could go in your trophy room or whatever it is. And again, he said, send it before you go. This way you'll see how he receives it. If he's excited to receive it, you know, he's on good terms with you, etc. But ultimately, there's a lot of mafarshim explaining the contents of Yaakov's gift to Yosef, as well as the reason behind the gift. So that's gift number one in the parsha. What's gift number two in the parsha? The brothers go to Yosef. Vayisam mas'ot me'ez panav aleihem. Vater masas binyamin mimasas kulam chamesh yadot. He gives something to them. They all sit down at Yosef's table for a meal. And he gives them all something. And he gives Binyamin five times as much. Vayishtu, vayishkaru imo. And they all drank and even got drunk to some degree with Yosef. How would you translate the mas'ot? Based on the context, what does it sound like? He gave them this. What did you say? What were they doing? They were eating. So, is it logical to say that he gave them portions of food? But what would make no sense about that? If he gave everyone one portion, then what? Can Binyamin really handle? So you want to say Binyamin was the youngest. He could handle it the most. He was still a high school kid. Right? The TABC kid. What do I auction off, by the way, in the TABC faculty, you know, student council raffle? Split a junior combo with Ravioni. So what's a junior combo? Anyone know? So it's an item on the Dougie's menu. It's a two-person meal. It's poppers, wings, and this unbelievable onion, this fried item. They put onion in like this batter of fried awesomeness, and they put this honey mustard sauce in the middle. You ask a random TABC kid, what's a junior combo? They'll know the answer. Let's just leave it at that. It's a pretty popular item, a little expensive. Two-person meal, though, you know, so it's like $15 a person. But my generosity, I'm all in it for the kids, obviously, right? That's the only reason I auction this off. So once a year, I have one of these junior combos. Okay. And once my wife had a full salon, she thought she was going to labor. So we had a junior combo. You know, you need like an excuse to have one of these things. You know? So you have to like justify it. So yeah, it was a full salon. It was also Rosh Chodesh Adar that evening. Anyway, so there's a machlokes we've shown him. Whether Yaakov Avinu was giving masa'ot, Rashi says manot. Manot would mean a portion, namely, of food. But the Ibn Ezra says, no, masot are doron. What? Ah, very good. So the Netziv actually says exactly what you just said, Adam. So the Netziv says, well, Rashi says manos is a reference to food, and that's what the Gemara usually says manos is. But then the Netziv says, no. The word in general means doronot, presence. Esther, vayitein masas kiyat ha-melech. It's Tosfos Yom Tov, he goes into these sources. And don't say it's food, because then how could Binyamin eat five portions? Okay, good point. You want to say in a time of a famine, maybe it would be appropriate to eat five portions. That's a very nice answer. You're saving. Okay, I hear that. But then Tziv wants to argue, like the Ibn Ezra, that Yosef was giving them presents. And while he's giving them presents, Bishra Pius, appeasement, Va'os Bakashat Mich'ahava. Sign of love. Sign of you want to show we are connected, a treaty, something like that. Very nice. Okay, so we have a source in the Parsha. People have given presents in Tanakh. It's not a new concept. There are strategic reasons to give presents, whether you're trying to, you know, soften a bad thing or you're just genuinely honoring someone, something like that. Very nice. So let's think out loud for a second. Chanukah presents. Can anyone think of a reason to not give a Chanukah present? What would be the issue, potentially, with giving Chanukah gifts? There it is. So Robert is a cultured individual. You'd have to live under a very large rock to miss this one. December 25th is coming up pretty soon. It's the holidays season. It is now December 21st at the time of this year. So there's another religion that also gives gifts. What do you know? Now, you'd have to really know whether or not that matters. So what? If they do it and we copy them, hypothetically, let's assume the worst. We literally copy them. Is that so bad on this one? See, Chukas HaAkum might be more related to Avodah Zarah. And would you argue that the gifts of December 25th and the holiday season for the Christians, is that an act of worship? You have to look into the origins of when people started giving gifts in relationship to this Christian holiday. I don't know too much about it, but that would be the ultimate question to find out. My limited understanding is that it was not in the original playbook, right? When they were celebrating, and the reason for the holiday was the birth of, you know, we'll say, Osohish. And the way to celebrate was not by giving gifts. And I don't know when the tree came along. I don't know who's a religious figure. I don't know, who's what. But ultimately, when you go to the Krispy Kreme website, you could get the holiday season dozen or the Chanukah dozen. And there are different types of donuts, right? There's either blue and white or red and green, right? And there's jelly donuts, the Chanukah or the Hanukkah dozen, right? So there's no question that you have like one type of light on a lawn and then the neighbors got the Chanukah lights on the window. Very similar holidays in like a couple of different ways, right?
Also,
yeah.
I should be able to give a gift to my wife for Hanukkah because I should be giving her a gift every night.
So Dr. Karp says, yeah. And if you want to say that it is a Avodah Zarah, what do you mean? I can never give a gift? What? I can't give a gift on December 25th? What if my anniversary is on December 25th? Can't give my wife a gift? Clearly there's a reason to give a gift. So seemingly the question would be, if giving a gift is part of the Christian holiday and we're only doing it because that's what they do and it's an act of worship, that would be a problem. I don't know anyone who says that. Certainly not the minhag. No need to say that. I certainly don't know everything about it, but that would be the issue. So let's quickly skip. I'm out of order. I'm going to edit these makoros and numbers and stuff like that. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was asked this question. And the Emes Liakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, so his son, the great Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, is live and well in the Philadelphia area, right, Rosh Yeshiva of the Philadelphia Yeshiva. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's Svarim are known as Emes Liakov. The most famous one is probably the one on the Parsha. But he does not only have a Sefer on the Parsha. The Emes Liakov also covers Shulchan Aruch and parts of Shas. And in his pieces on Hanukkah, one of the questions was, it's in a footnote, 583. Mashenagu bi yamenu liten matanos liyaladim b'yemei Chanukah. Haim yesh bezem yishum chukas ha'akum she'osim kein b'yemei Eidan. So here it is, black on white. It's a Christian minug. Is it okay to do for Chanukah? Says the great Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, and the Emes Liakov. Nireh shelo. It's not a problem. Not a violation. Because the source of this minug comes from another minug, namely to give money to Malamdim. So apparently there was a minug to give educators, the Rebbeim presence. Our shul, interestingly, does that. I never saw it before I moved to Fairland, right? They give an email every year. What do they call it? Something like Maos or anything, right? Demei Chanuk, whatever, right? To give it a little tip to the Rebbeinu. And Darkenom does it also. It's such a concept, right? Meaning everyone knows what I'm talking about. You get an email every year. Tip a rabbi. And again, certainly in TABC, I'll get like, chocolate covered pretzels, you know, like some of the more, we'll say, appreciative type of families, whatever. You'll get something. on Hanukkah, but it's a real old minug to give a shtickle tip to the Rebbeim, the Malamdim. And who would give the tip to the Rebbe? Who gives me the chocolate-covered pretzels on Hanukkah? Who actually hands it to me? The kid. Who gave it to the kid? The parent. So if the parent gives pretzels that are covered with chocolate to the kid, to give to the Rebbe, what are the odds that the chocolate-covered pretzels make it to the Rebbe? So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you can't give a kid money to give to the Rebbe, but not also give some money to the kid. Okay, Peter's like, yeah, you can. So he says, he would send it through the Talmidim, and that ultimately led to the minhag that you would also give something to the kids as well. You tip the messenger. So maybe you give the Rebbe $100, and you give the kid a $5 bill. There, yeah, you know, something like that. You hear it? No, you don't hear it. Peter does not hear it. Why not?
You don't need to. The kid's going to give it. First of all, he's a good kid. Second of all, it's in his interest also.
Why? Because
his Rebbe should get a gift. That's in his interest also.
Why? Because I'm going to favor him? Why is it his?
It can't hurt.
Yeah, of course it does hurt. Yeah, everyone knows. Yeah. It makes a big difference in the final average. Yeah. I mean, it depends on the pretzels. That's the truth. You know? So this is his chiddush. This is his suggestion that it probably originally came from this other minhag. So once you're giving money to the Rebbeim, you give money to the kids also. But then he says, "Adrabi yoter mistaber shagoyim lachu minhag izemei ha-Yehudim." He says, if you do your history research, you'll probably find that Jews were giving gifts on Hanukkah before Christians were giving gifts on their holiday. Hanukkah gelt probably preceded any presents under trees on December 25th morning. Something like that's what he suggests. You really would need, I guess, a historian, scholarly research, Stuart Rubin level academic research to really find the answer to that. But my understanding is that he's correct. Meaning, but they're both relatively recent. That's the issue. They're both relatively recent. Like both of these minhagim, both in the Christian world and in our world, might have only started in America. Like, it's not so clear that it was even, the presents were not necessarily so long ago. So Yaakov Kamenetsky argues that it probably started from this pre-America European model that translated into the new presents. So, but all we've seen was a justification to give matanos liyaladim. So again, that's pretty real. Okay, so let's try to see some classical sources, and we'll try to come away with a mahalach this evening that I think will help us think about these items. All right, so the Mishnah Brura does quote a minhag. Nohagim ha'aniyim v'saveiv b'chanukah ala psachim v'yesh ta'am hazeh. Minhag to collect staka on Chanukah. I guess that makes sense. Is anyone familiar with that concept? Are there more appeals or a lot of fundraising on Chanukah?
But we have that for every year.
Right, so every yontif,
and we always give, and we give gifts to kids on every yontif in some form or another. You have an Afikoman present. You give sweet candies to the kids on Shavuos. In Simchas Torah, we give kids gifts. On Chanukah, we certainly give kids gifts.
That's interesting. So Adam's not so convinced that there's any reason that Chanukah stands out. Okay, I hear that. So the Mishnah Brura does say there was an aniyim for a minhag for poor people to collect staka. And he says there's a reason. And there's a Mishnah Brura coming from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham was well before the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura often quotes the Magen Avraham. And in Siman Tav Reish Ayin, in the very beginning of the Siman, the Magen Avraham writes, he adds one word. Nohagim ha-ne'arim ha-aniyim l'savei b'chanuk al-psachim. Not only do poor people collect staka, but rather specifically the young poor men would go around collecting staka. So the Mishnah Brura didn't tell you why. He said, there is a reason. Well, again, Avraham does the same thing. He gives us a little bit more information that it's youth. And his look at the Sefer Chanukah Sabayis, there's a reason. Who in the world is going to have the Sefer Chanukah Sabayis that the Magen Avraham is quoting in the 1500s? So the database, Otsar HaChachma, has almost everything under the sun. I have free access to it because I'm a YU graduate. Highly recommended. The Otsar, if you're a rabbi in this generation, you want to look up Makoros, and you know how to tap into the YU alumni resources. It's unbelievable. Bar Ilan and Otzer Chachma. Every Sefer ever, almost, literally, on your fingertips. Unbelievable. And Rabbi Josh Flug, Shlita, used to play hockey with him in Queens. He wrote an article about this. And I would not have known where to look in the Sefer. I was actually scrolling through the Sefer, not knowing if I was going to find it. I was almost about to give up. And Rabbi Josh Flug said a little bit more information about where in the Sefer it could be found. And only because of Rabbi Josh Flug's article that I find it. And you know what the Sefer says? That the Magen Avraham is quoting. Magen Avraham does not quote slouches. The Magen Avraham is quoting your Sefer. That means you're in the big leagues. But he goes into Kabbalah. I was not ready for this. He goes into Gematria, really. And he says, okay, the word Shemen, not in the regular Gematria, but the Atbash, where you do every letter's backward letter. You know, Aleph is really equal to Tav. You know, so it comes out to a number which equals one of the names of Hashem. And he arrives at this Yesod that Chanukah in Atbash comes out to Sod Tzedakah. Namely, on a deeper level, there is clearly a connection between the mitzvah of giving Tzedakah and Chanukah. We have to figure this one out. And he tries to explain. And you need to give specifically to the young boys who are learning Torah. And he goes into other interesting gematrias. Shemen, whatever, that Shemen HaTov will be Mashbil. I mean, a little bit, say, literally Kabbalistic, so to speak. Or it's very deep. And then he says, what's the connection? That the Nais happened through a small pach. And that small jug of oil alludes to the young children. Who are the Pachim Ketanim? The young boys who are going around to publicize the miracle. And they are filled with their own inner pure oil. So support the young children learning Torah. If this was in a Chassidus Sheva, I would not have been surprised. But the Magen Avraham is referenced. You know, the Magen Avraham thought this was like the Sefer to quote. This is well before the Baal Shem Tov was alive. That's what he's saying. Unbelievable. That all right, this is unbelievable. That the holiness, the pintaliyah, the poor, pure neshamos need help on Chanukah. Okay, that's one pshat. And the Prima Gadim gives another pshat. He has a parish on the Magen Avraham himself, and he gives his own pshat. The idea being that why would we specifically have to give tzedakah on Chanukah? Because we need to do tshuva for what the Yevanim were trying to take away from us. So there's Torah and there's Chesed and there's Tefillah, and to combat that, we need to strengthen all three. So by giving tzedakah, you're essentially combating the Yevanim on a spiritual level. They were saying, don't learn Torah, so learn extra Torah. Don't do Chesed, so we do extra Chesed. And by giving Niyam Tzedakah, we're doing Chesed to combat the Yevanim. Okay, very, very nice. Okay, it's a beautiful Prima Gadim. And the Sifsei Chaim, my favorite answer, the Panovitcher Rav, is that so? Panovitcher Rav. So the Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, was the Mashkiach in Panovitch, in Bnei Brak. And he quotes the original Panovitcher Rav, who says, do you know why we give money to children on Chanukah? Because what happened on Chanukah? The Yevanim prohibited Talmud Torah. And it worked, unfortunately. And after we won the war, what do we need to do? Teach the children how to love learning again. So how are we going to get children who had not been learning because it was prohibited? How are we going to get them to love learning again? What do we have to do? Pay them a little bit. Give them a little bit of shmir. Give them a little bit of gelt. And in order to make the Torah sweet again, after the children were too afraid to learn and were accustomed, unfortunately, to not learning because it was banned, so we soften it up a little bit with a little bit of gelt, so to speak. So these all are the classical answers of, you know, a different pshatim as to why we give presents on Chanukah. So essentially, it started with this minhag to give kids tzedakah. And one of the rabbis, I think, forget, unfortunately, said, if you only give the poor kids stucca or presents, that's embarrassing. So what you do, you give all the kids stucca, so you don't embarrass the poor ones. And that became the minhag. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, his mutter, good enough for me, so to speak. But I wanted to give a little bit of a different hesber this evening. I'm going to start by pointing out, there's an amazing opinion of Rav Sajigon. Is it fathomable to argue that Chanukah is one of the 613 mitzvahs? That is seemingly a ridiculous position. Very good. Why would it be very counterintuitive to count Chanukah as one of the 613? Because the whole story of Chanukah happened well after we received the Torah. So imagine getting the Torah at Har Sinai, being commanded all the mitzvahs, and one of them is light menorah. I'm like, what are you doing? But the Rav Sajigon. Sajigon, how could you, Adam, not remember Rav Sajigon by heart? Slacking on Adam. I also thought it was the Bahag, by the way. I think it is the Bahag also. But I think it is the Bahag. Adam's definitely right. So yeah, I think it's the Bahag. I know they're in Bahag in response to the Rambam. At least to this point, we're going to stick with Rav Sajigon on this point. Counts, but do you know how the Rav Sajigon counts the 13 mitzvahs? In an alphabetical poem. Aleph to Tuf, Tuf to Aleph, Aleph to Tuf, Tuf to, like, four times. Do you know how smart he was? He's crazy. He does the whole 613 mitzvahs in an alphabetical order poem. It's mind-boggling. Anyway, so one of those lines of the poem is to light menorah. So who is the famous Perish on Rav Sajigon's Sefer Mitzvahs? There's not many Perushim on that. Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, a leading Talmud of the Netziv, right, if I'm not mistaken. Not too long ago, lived in the 1900s, died in like 1934 or so. And Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau says, how could you count Chanukah as one of the 613? So he says, you know how you could do it? Because in truth, Hallel, you can count as one of the 613. And we don't view lighting the menorah as independent from the Hallel. Can anyone prove how lighting menorah is part of the Hallel of Chanukah? What do we light menorah for? To publicize the nes. What do we say when we light menorah? Haneris Halalu. In fact, the halacha technically is to literally say Haneris Halalu as you're lighting. It's not a hefzik. You light the first candle, literally as you're lighting the next candles, you can recite Haneris Halalu. Some say it after they've lit. But we're putting the menorah into a context. It's not just a maisa mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that screams out a story. You look at a menorah in the window, you don't just see the lights in a window, you see a publication, publicity of a miracle. Namely, it's a praising of Hashem. Ah, so once you argue that the menorah is an act of praising Hashem, you can include it in Hallel. And Hallel, certainly he argues, can be counted as one of the 613 mitzvos. So menorah is a subcategory of Hallel. What do you think? Logical or not? Convinced? Because Peter, not so easy to convince Peter. But he's Rav Yochum Shmuel, very smart. You're okay with this, Peter. So I want, yeah. No. He says, he goes on. I'm sorry if you just asked it. He goes through all of the mitzvahs Hayom, of Chanukah in particular, and says they're all part of Hallel. Says when you do Kriyas HaTorah, for example, on Chanukah, that's also in the D'oraisa, because you're also Sheg Hare Gam Bezem Isfarnes Hanes. Meaning, he is not viewing the mitzvos of Chanukah as independent mitzvos. He's saying they're all under the broader category of Hallel. Yeah, I don't know if he does it by another Chag, but by the Chanukah in particular, he does it. And it's very mistaber. I'll tell you why. What does the Gemara say they did in the times of Chanukah? They established a holiday, and the Lashon of the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Chav Aleph, and Beis, is the next year, Kavum v'asim yimei tovim v'halel v'hoda'a.
And then you have the thought that the Chanukah menorah only came later.
Very good. Very good. Meaning the nucleus, the neshama of the day, the main kedushas hayom, the maisa of the year, the mitzvahs hayom, is Hallel. Hallel. That's what they said. It's not 8 days of lighting menorah. It's 8 days of Hallel the Hoda'ah. And how does the Rambam present Hilchos Chanukah? He says, B'Chanukah Purim Mosifin B'Hoda'ah. I'm sorry. So essentially, again, I'm sorry, forget that Lashon for a second. I have to look it up. I'm sorry, here it is. Okay, the simcha is a different story. But the Rambam, like the Gemara, is pointing out that the day is a day of Hallel. Can anyone now skip to where I'm going with this, with presents? How does presents fit into this? Can you argue that giving presents fits into the theme of Hanukkah now? No. Adam's saying no.
Well, that's why we give. That's what I said earlier. We give presents on all the young
people. No, but how does it fit into Hallel? How does it fit into Hallel? How does a present, if I give you a Pokemon card, like maybe I've been early in the middle of the house tonight, how does it fit into Hallel? Yeah, exactly, right? You know, my parents gave one of my kids a night costume this evening, right? So what? That's Hallel v'Hoda'ah? Oh, you bet. You bet. Why is it Hallel v'Hoda'ah? I'm going to tell you. Here's what I thought. Okay, there's a little bit of a say, poetic license. Rav Rimon, this sefer is a good sefer. Anything he publishes, you get me a birthday present, this is what I want. Anything he writes is dynamite. He writes that in the Sefer HaMakabim, believe it or not, it says that there was a Jew who opened up a store in Yerushalayim that was a Batei HaMishchak, a recreation center. And this Jew was one of the classic, unfortunate, mityavnim. He was assimilated, right? That was the spiritual war going on at the time. To the degree that he opened up kiviyachol, a Chuck E. Cheese, a Six Flags, whatever you want to call it, a place to play. And Rimon says maybe that justifies the minhag of playing dreidel on Hanukkah. Why? Because as opposed to the recreation of the mityavnim, that was outside of a religious context. Here's B'chanukah, Anu Marmish, Anachnu Lo Rak Chuzrim Ala Mikdash Umetar Moto, but we actually show that everything we do is in a religious context. Meaning when the kids are playing dreidel in the context of a Chanukah party, what they're doing is that they see that even playing is associated with Kedusha. With the Kedusha. You're saying you're transforming the kids into understanding that even when I play, it can be related to Hashem. So I thought also, when a little kid is getting more connected to Hanukkah because he's looking forward to his presence, so I don't know if it's outside of the realm of Hallel v'Hoda'ah to get kids just more excited about Hanukkah, because what do we say in the beginning, a parsha of the parsha? Why was Yaakov sending gifts? Why was Yosef sending gifts? You want to have a good rapport with the other person. So developing a good relationship between young children and Hanukkah, they chop that the whole idea is to get connected to Hashem and to praise Hashem for the miracles. So again, I know it's a little bit of a poetic license, but ultimately, in the same way that the Panovich Rav, as Itzal said, they needed to get the kids to love Torah again with a little Shalolishma. So when you get kids so excited about Hanukkah because of presents, they're not getting excited about the presents. They're getting excited about the presents in the context of Hanukkah. So maybe you could almost say that it's part of the Hallel, namely it's part of the festivities. Because once you understand, like Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlev, that the whole day really is Hallel Hodah, and all the mitzvos in particular are just more of subcategories of just praising Hashem and thanking Hashem. So granted, when I give my kid a gift, I'm not thanking Hashem, but I kind of am. And on a little bit of a deeper level, you know, when you have children and you're zocha to have people to give gifts to, you have so much to thank Hashem for. And, you know, I remember the Rama famously writes that although there's no formal mitzvah to have a se'uda on Hanukkah, if you have a meal with your family, and you recite shiros v'sishpachos, you have zmiros, etc., at your meal, it elevates the meal to a sudas hoda'ah, it's a sudas mitzvah. So the great Rav Jason Finkelstein, he's brilliant, he's a Rebbe in Heichal HaTorah, a good friend. He said, what's pshat with that Ramah? Asked me, Ben Yishon this past Sunday. He said, you're eating at a table on Hanukkah with your family. Is it a chiv or not? Is there a mitzvah or not? No, you don't have to have them. You have to have meals on Shabbos, you have to have meals on Pesach and Yom Tov. You don't have to have a Hanukkah meal. So how could it be that all of a sudden, poof, magic, your meal is elevated? So what's the pshat? Because once, like Rav Yochum Frischel Perlow, that once the meal is in the context of Halal Vehoda'a, so it's the whole nature of the day. So I wanted to take it one step further. It's obvious, it's intuitive when you have a family gathering. What you really appreciate is the family. It's the family, meaning you're thanking Hashem for the miracles of Chanukah, obviously, but you're also really happy to see your cousins, to see your mishpacha. How often does the family get together? Alvin has to get on a plane every other week just to see his kids, you know? And it's not a simple thing. What would Alvin do to have all of his kids under his own roof? Probably will cost a lot of money, and it would be worth every penny, right? To get Maryland and Israel, whoever, you know, Florida. This shop is all coming.
A lot of them.
You know, at least 30 states out of the 50 will be represented in Alvin's family. This, but I think the idea is when you give a gift to your kid, you're thinking, Hashem, secretly, Hashem, thank you for allowing me to have a child and a family to celebrate Chanukah with. So maybe a little bit more drush than halacha at the end. But at a minimum, the nature of the day is Halal V'Hoda'a. And therefore, a meal that includes Halal V'Hoda'a is, of course, a mitzvah because it's what the whole day is supposed to be. And, you know, in the same way that we should be thanking Hashem during Chanukah, we should also obviously not take the people around us for granted. And we know the ultimate, you know, priority of lighting candles with the household. And we certainly don't want to take anyone under our own roof for granted. Obviously, and when we're zochah to have family members to give presents to, we should thank Hashem for our loved ones and those who fill up the houses with all the menorahs, Be'ezras Hashem. And we should continue to not take Hashem for granted and thank Him and praise Him for everything He does for us. Have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.